This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Human Animal Connection Show, where we believe we can communicate with all animals. Join us as we explore the 33 principles and healing methods of the human animal connection. As animal lovers, we know that you share our commitment to making the world a kinder place for all creatures. Together, let's embrace the transformative healing power of the human animal connection.
Hi, everyone. It's Jeannie Joseph from the Human Animal Connection. So glad you're with us today. And I have a wonderful guest that I've been looking forward to speaking to, Karen Kaler. And she has just an amazing history. She is a somatic experiencing practitioner. She's a pet loss grief specialist. She is an end-of-life doula for all animals. She's an animal chaplain. And she's an interspecies communicator. And as if that wasn't enough, she also has touch skills and Reiki for horses. And today we're going to focus on what she's learned about animal souls through the process of witnessing the process of preparing for death, death and dying in horses. So we're going to find out what the horses have taught her about death and dying. So Karen, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, Jeannie, my pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah. Well, let's start by, you know, a lot of people believe that animals have souls. Some people are not quite sure. Some people are very hopeful. What have you learned in your work with animals about the fact that animals have souls? We'll start with that. I'll call it a fact and then tell us how you know it to be true.
Well, I've had a lot of experiences throughout my life, but it never really told me about animals. It told me more about humans. And then all of a sudden, I was living in Korea. I was married to someone in the military at the time. And we had left our cat in Arizona while we were in Korea for a year. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, one night, I awoke feeling a cat kneading on my back.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sat up and I said, Meshach has come to say goodbye. She died. And she's come to say goodbye.
Oh.
And he came from a very strict religious background and so did not agree with what I was saying. But but it gave me such a sense of peace to know that she could find me anywhere.
Wow.
And that there was this connection. And we did get a letter a week later to say she had indeed disappeared that night. So we think it was probably coyotes, but
wow,
it set me on the path of, okay, I've known this for humans. Now I know it for animals.
Wow. Wow. And I know you've done a lot of work with horses and death and dying, helping horses understand what's happening and finding out from them how they feel. Can you tell us some of the stories that you've learned something from a horse about their perception of death and dying?
Oh, yeah. It's been amazing. I used to volunteer at a horse rescue, and I found out that one horse was going to be put down, and this was my first experience with it there. And so I decided to just go visit him. And it was late in the afternoon, and he was an old horse, and I knew he was ready. I could feel that, but I just wanted to go speak to him. And so I walked up to him, and I'm just looking in his eyes and telling him, I know you're going to die tomorrow, you know, and I'm so sorry. And he's just looking at me, and all of a sudden, I just started singing, You Must Have Been a Beautiful Baby.
Oh.
Because I had no history on him. We, you know, often in rescue, we don't have a history.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to honor the fact that he was magnificent and that he had a childhood. He had a mother who loved him.
Mm-hmm.
And that we were there for him now.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Another time, there was this young horse that was going to be euthanized the next day, and I had asked, has anyone told him?
Mm.
Because I really believed that they deserved to know.
Yes.
You know, and so I went out to talk to him and tell him, And immediately he went, you could see the fear in his eyes.
Mm.
And he went and ran behind another horse.
Mm.
So I asked this horse if he would talk to him. If he, you know, I explained the procedure and everything. I said, but you need to be able to tell him that. He doesn't need to hear it from me right now. That's too scary for him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so actually it was a week earlier. I told him a week earlier. Mm-hmm. And so we had that whole week to get to the point of incorporating that into who he was within the herd,
mm-hmm.
to be able to hear their stories and share their stories, share his story, and have a farewell process with them.
Wow.
And so when the time came, when they had to lead him out, he was just so peaceful.
Wow.
You know, so,
Yeah. Yeah, it's an extraordinary thing. You know, a lot of, I don't think that everybody tells their horse that this is what's going to happen, you know, and I think that they deserve to know. If they don't already, they deserve to know. And the notion of being able to pass peacefully is, I think, humans owe that to the animals that are in their lives, and to find out, how can I contribute to the peace? And one way is through letting them know, and another way is through giving them time to process. What else have you noticed about making that process more peaceful?
Well, there was another horse who they had brought him up to his feed stall so that they didn't have to get him at the last moment. So they brought him up to the feed stall. And again, I said, has anyone told him?
Mm-hmm.
And they hadn't. So I went out there and I told the horse, but then also announced it to the herd, because the herd needed time to say goodbye.
Right.
And so all of a sudden, you'd see horses starting to come up to the feed stall.
Mm.
It's almost like there was a procession.
Mm.
They had a little bit of time with him and then they left.
Wow.
You know, and if you didn't know what was going on, you just mm-hmm. think, oh, they're just going up to see if there's extra hay on the ground or something. But
mm-hmm.
it just felt so sacred.
Wow.
Another time there was a mother and daughter, two mares that were in separate pastures.
Mm-hmm.
And I had asked if they could be reunited just for the right before the euthanasia of the mother.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, it couldn't happen. So I talked to the mother, and she was able to say goodbye to some of the others in her pasture.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her I would talk to her daughter afterwards. And so I was able to bring some of her tail into the daughter's pasture. And this is a hard one.
Wow.
And so I brought it out to the daughter, and she buried her head into this piece of tail that I had in my hand.
Uh-huh.
And she breathed so deeply.
Wow.
She knew it was her mother.
Yes, of course.
And all of a sudden, this almost like this wail came out of her. Cry. And all of her friends started to surround her. You know, and I just stayed there as long as she needed me. Mm-hmm. And she kept coming back and breathing it in and just coming back. And it was just beautiful. It was beautiful. Heartbreaking. I was
heartbreaking.
Crying.
Yeah, of course.
But
of
it
course.
Was just, you know, just to see there's so much we don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take much just mm-hmm. to go and honor relationship, honor their lives.
Yes.
Honor their ability to tell their story.
Yes.
And especially herd. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially in a herd environment, it's not just affecting the one who's passing, but everyone that has connection to that horse. So mm-hmm. to recognize that horses do have herd consciousness, you know, they have a sense of what's going on with everyone in the herd and like that. Yeah. Yeah. And did it, in your experience, the horses that were in there were appointments for euthanasia that the horses knew or didn't know? What have you noticed about that?
Usually they didn't know. They knew something was up,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't know.
Yeah.
And they especially didn't know the procedure.
Right.
What was going to happen.
Right.
And so I would tell them, this is what's going to happen. They will come and get you, and we will go over there, and I will be with you also.
Mm-hmm.
And then the vet will be there. And this is what will happen first. This is the shot that will happen first. And you'll feel dizzy. You know, he will help you down. Hopefully, if everything went right. But I didn't go there. But,
yeah.
And I just think it was so important to explain that. Even, I mean, with any animal.
Yes.
You know, and I think it helps a human too. If you have to explain that to your animal, it also reassures you that you know the process. You're not going to be surprised when you get in there. You know, it's not an easy thing to talk about, but they deserve that.
Right. Definitely. You know,
it's a little more calming, I think, to know what's going to happen.
Yeah. So once they understand that it's going to happen and have some time to process, they're able to be peaceful through the process. Is that what you've seen? Has that helped to make it?
Yeah.
Because I think, I think not all horse euthanasias go smoothly, right? There's, it's not known for its smoothness.
And some vets, you know, use gunshot. And that doesn't always go smoothly either. But I would say the majority of the ones I've attended have. There was another beautiful one. These two horses were in together, and they were very bonded, a male and a female, very bonded. And I was told, we're going to have trouble getting her out because she hates coming to the gate and, you know, all these things. So again, has anyone told her, you know, in and had a conversation with both of them. And he left. He's like, I don't want to hear this. I can't hear this. You know, so here I was having the conversation with the mare that was going to be euthanized, and again, honoring her life, blessing her. And when the time came, when they went to get her, she came right up to the gate.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they have this beautiful life force, and yet when it's time, they can be peaceful through the process if someone helps them, if someone explains it to them and gives them a chance to understand it. Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I don't think we humans could do quite as well. I think that they definitely are more willing to accept the phases, the cycles of life than we are. You know, for us, it's very scary. We don't know what's going on or, So how, you go ahead,
I was going to say, and also explaining to them why this is happening.
You know,
because of your injury.
Yes.
Because your pain can't be controlled any longer. You know, so actually making sense out of it.
Right.
And the other thing is I also encourage them to call in any of their ancestors to support them, to greet them.
Yeah.
To go with them across the river to the land of the ancestors.
Beautiful. So. Beautiful. Yeah. So in that way, it can be a very sacred process, it sounds, as you're describing it. And how is it for you to witness this, to, you know, multiple witnessing of death? Is how do you manage it emotionally?
Some are easier than others.
Why is that? What makes it easier and not easy?
I think the, you know, if I know they're in pain and I know that pain can't be controlled, then I know they're ready. If they've lived a long and full life, it's, some of them, you know, if it's a behavior problem, that's a hard one.
That's a hard one.
Because I unfortunately, I'm a fixer. I want to make it better.
Yes.
If I work with this horse, can we make it better?
It's like, yes.
No. Sometimes I have to just learn to let go.
Yeah. Wow. Fascinating. Well, we're going to take a short little break, but when we come back, I would love it if you would tell us a little bit about how you experience animal communication. We've talked to several animal communicators, and everyone is just a little bit different in how they approach it. So we'd love to hear you tell us that. We'll be right back in just a moment, so don't go anywhere.
Hey friends, if you like what you're hearing and want to learn more, check out Dr. Joseph's book, The Human-Animal Connection, Deepening Relationships with Animals and Ourselves. Or visit the website, thehumananimalconnection.org, to book an online consultation. Thank you for loving animals. Now back to the show.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Human-Animal Connection. I'm speaking with Karen Kaler, and we're learning about how horses respond to time of death. So tell us a little bit about how you communicate. I know you've been mentioning that you communicate with the animals, that you can tell them what's happening, that you can listen to their feelings, watch their responses. What's your process like? Are you communicating out loud, silently? How does that work?
It depends on the day. It depends on how I feel the animal needs that or how I need it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I get a feeling. It's a knowing almost.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's an actual word.
Mm-hmm.
I don't usually get actual words around death, but I have. I mm-hmm. walked up to this horse that I knew was colicking.
Mm.
And I said, I said, "Hey, bud, how's it going?" And all I heard was dying.
Mm.
So that was, I think, wow.
Yes.
I knew that wasn't from me because I wouldn't have said that,
Right.
So that was interesting. Another time, and this wasn't a horse, this was a dog, but I was asking him some questions that his human had wanted to know.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you missing? Who are you missing? And I heard the word doc. Dios, mm-hmm. So I said to her, "Oh, it sounds like he's missing his vet or something like that." And she goes back, she goes, "No, that meant his duck."
Oh, duck.
Because they were in Australia and he had an accent and I didn't get it.
So.
But yeah, so I mean, it happens all different ways. Sometimes it's in a meditation, in a shamanic journey.
Mm-hmm.
It's pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
So all different things.
Wow. Wow. And do you do any kind of mourning rituals, or is there any way that you what do you do?
Well, the mourning rituals that I've been part of have been with the horses themselves. Mm-hmm. So at one ritual, they met inside a shelter, and one of the horses had died, and so there were three of them up there in the shelter, and they allowed me to stand with them and just watch the sunset, and you could feel the grief.
Mm.
And they met that way for 3 days in a row.
Wow.
In the exact same place.
Mm.
And the fourth day, they were done.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I went to look for them the fourth day, and they're like, "No, we're finished. We did it.
We did it."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another time, there were horses surrounding the body of a mare who had died in the pasture.
Mm.
And so they were just standing around her.
Mm-hmm.
And they allowed me to come in. I asked permission. And here I am going in, kneeling down next to this horse. And all of a sudden my brain goes, you've got like 7,000 pounds standing around you. If they poop, you're gone, But they didn't. And I knew they wouldn't.
Yeah.
They allowed me to bend down. They allowed me to bless her. They allowed me to kiss her goodbye.
Oh.
And then leave.
Wow.
Another time, a mare had lost her best friend in the herd.
Mm.
And I saw all of the other horses come around her, surround her in her grief.
Oh.
And it's just amazing. It's just so beautiful.
Wow. Yeah. It's like horses are better people than we are.
Yeah, they're nicer.
Oh my goodness, wow. Well, on the people side, how do you help people maybe prepare for death or deal with death after the fact? How do you help them?
I first try and find out what they're looking for. What do they need? I tell them, if you need to get a message from your animal afterwards,
mm-hmm.
if that will bring you comfort, ask your animal ahead of time.
Okay.
And be specific.
Mm-hmm.
If you need to see a leaf or a feather or a butterfly or something, be specific as to where or what kind. Because then you won't be questioning yourself. You'll see it and you'll know.
Yeah. Wow. That's beautiful. That's a beautiful thing to give someone, is that to ask that request and to make it so specific. So you're not always wondering, was that my horse or was that just a leaf blowing? You know? Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really awesome. It's a lovely thing to add in.
Another thing is, if you can have someone with you, someone who can take care of the day-to-day things, so can do the paperwork, can do, you know, if you're going to your vet's office, if the vet is coming to you, just have someone who can take care of things for you so that you can focus on losing your animal, on their sacredness of their death, and just grieving, you know, so nobody else, so that you don't have to worry about writing a check or giving your credit card or something, you know?
Yes, exactly.
And if you can take care of those things ahead of time, that's even better.
Yeah. Yeah. What have you noticed? Like, I know not the gunshot scenario, but the lethal injection scenario. Can you feel the moment when the spirit leaves? Have you felt that?
Sometimes.
Okay. Yeah. Tell us about that.
It's almost like a picture. It's a very gentle feeling. For me, it wasn't really strong. The last time, though, it was actually the wind came. That was amazing.
Wow.
But sometimes I see a picture of horses coming towards and then horses leaving.
Wow. Wow. That's so interesting. So interesting. Wow. That's amazing. So tell us a little bit about your Reiki work. How does that work and when do you use your Reiki work?
I use my Reiki work, I think, not as much with death as with just a horse who asks for it.
Okay.
You know, I have to be careful because I'm in right now, my horse is in a barn, a boarding barn.
Okay.
So all of these horses have their own humans.
Yes.
So if an animal's asking for something, I kind of have to talk to their human about it.
Okay.
You know?
And how do you explain it? Let's say the person doesn't believe in horses communicating and asking, you're saying, my knee is hurting. You know, like, how does it go when you talk to the human? Do you usually say, yes, please, or oh, I don't know.
Well, you know, that's funny because in our chaplaincy class, we had to do a project. And so I was going to go out and bless the herd because we had to come up with blessings. And I thought, how am I going to bring this up to the humans that have horses in this herd? They're going to think I'm totally nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, they already do. So why worry?
Right.
You know, and I went to explain it to each one. Each one said, absolutely.
Oh.
No problem whatsoever. And I've never had a human that said, no, don't do anything to my horse.
Wow.
You know, it's like, yeah, okay, you want to try it? Go for it. You know, it's because it's so gentle. It's non-invasive.
Right. Well, I love the idea that the horses ask for it, you know, because it's not really appropriate to just go up and start healing horses, you know, or anybody. So tell me a story about a horse asking for something. You did some Reiki and what was the outcome?
Oh, okay. I think it's just comfort afterwards. You see the head nodding, you know, just that sense of peace.
Yeah. So you can feel a shift in the energy after.
Yeah,
you...
absolutely.
And are they very clear? Like, say, like such and such hurts, or touch me here, or do they not always know, or how aware are they of what's going on?
Oh yeah, you put your hands up, and they will move their body to where they want it. That's just, it's like, okay. And especially if you think you're doing it right.
Yeah.
And you're not.
Yes.
If you've misread it.
Yes.
They will shift and go, up here.
Or
back here. You know, wherever.
That's so beautiful.
And then when they're done, they're done.
They're done. They just walk away. I know. I love that. It's like a dance, you know, and they're leading, we're following, you know, and it's just, really feeling into that and letting them, you know, not missing the signal, like when they move to their left or to their right or something that you understand, okay, over here, yes, you know.
Yeah, and not just shifting weight. Yeah,
right, right.
To tell you something.
Yeah, yeah. I remember once working with a horse. I know I wasn't planning to work with him. I was teaching a class, but with a horse. And the horse just put out his leg in front like a ballerina, like put out his front leg, like stretched out. And I said, okay. And I just did my healing work and everybody watched. And then he was done and he just walked away. It was really a sweet feeling too, because I wasn't planning to do that. It was, he let me know what he needed and he knew that I could do it. I mean, I had met this horse before, so it wasn't a complete stranger, but yeah, it's lovely when we can respond to them and to pay attention to their communication. That's really lovely. So what would you like people to know, maybe that have animals and are perhaps getting ready for this cycle of passing?
Be kind with yourself. You're not always going to feel like you're making the right decision. You're going to have questions. Get support.
Yeah.
Ask for support, whether it's your friends, your family, or someone who does animal communication. Mm-hmm. The right person will show up for you. You mm-hmm. can trust
yeah.
that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people struggle with, is it the right time? Is it too soon? Is it too late? Is it now? Is it later? You know, like that can be very torturous. And I think if everyone has a good animal communicator, they can get some help with that if they don't feel like they can communicate themselves. If they don't have the clarity themselves, if they don't feel that, it's so important, because otherwise you can be left with a lot of guilt or anger or upsetness that you didn't make the right decision or you didn't make it at the right time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you ever had a horse say, no, I don't want to be euthanized?
I've seen what I thought was that.
Yeah.
But I wasn't in control of the situation.
So right. Yeah.
It was somewhere else. And so all I could do. Yeah. And I could say that I don't think this animal's ready,
mm-hmm.
but it was their time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which was hard. Yes,
it was
very hard.
Yeah,
it's a tough business to be in. But yeah. I guess maybe I shouldn't say that, because if from a spiritual point of view, these animals are also leaving the human world and perhaps entering a better one. Is that possible? What do you think about that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And also, we don't know their paths.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be that it was their time, mm-hmm. and it was part of a lesson for all of us.
Yes. Right. Right.
So, yeah. So I can't make that call.
Right. Right. So would you say that you have a certain neutrality about death now that you've done so much work? In the sense that you don't see it as either good or bad, but that it's just a larger destiny at work or larger timing at work? What are your thoughts? I don't want to put words in your mouth. What do you think about that?
No, that's great. When I was in my 20s, I had an out-of-body experience where I was shown my grandfather. I could feel him right beside me. And when I left my body, I was completely surrounded by stars. And I was shown the light. And I was told that I was being shown this for a reason. And all I could feel was total unconditional love.
Wow.
It was amazing. The lightness of being.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand it at the time. I was in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it was amazing. And I saw beings walking towards the light, beings coming back from the light, and I was told that the ones coming back, it just wasn't their time yet.
Mm.
And ever since then, I haven't had a fear of death. I thought it's amazing. It's beautiful.
Mm.
You know, but we can't go until it's our time.
Right. Right.
You know?
Right.
But it's made it so that when I'm with an animal that's dying, I'm able to say to them, it will be so amazing. You will have no pain. You will feel such peace. You'll feel such freedom. You know, so I think that is, that's why I'm in this. I was raised by a hospice nurse too. So,
You were born into the death business.
I know.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Well, it was clearly your destiny to do this work. Well, it's just been absolutely delightful to speak with you. How can people get in touch with you if they'd like to connect with you?
By email.
Okay.
Which would be kkequinespirit@gmail.com.
Wonderful. Wonderful. All right. Last words before we say aloha. What would you like to leave people with?
Last words. If you can, send them with love. Mm-hmm. It's their time.
Yeah.
It's hard when we're hurting. It's hard when we're grieving. But if you can put that just a little bit to the side and focus on love, your heart to their heart, and just keep that circle going, it's such a beautiful way for them to depart.
Wonderful. Living and leaving in love.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Karen. It was just wonderful to have you here for us.
Thank you. Amy.
All right. So we'll see you all next, or hear you all next. We'll say aloha for now. Thank you for being part of the audience of the Human Animal Connection.
Thank you for tuning in to the Human Animal Connection show. Please visit our website, thehumananimalconnection.org. There you can sign up for our free email newsletter, book a consultation, or check out our blogs and resources. Our best-selling book, The Human Animal Connection, is available on Amazon. And your donation of any amount keeps our nonprofit organization providing life-changing services. You can reach Michael Overley, author of Let Your Dog Lead, Musings on How to Create an Exceptional Life, on his website at dogsandmen.com or email michael@dogsandmen.com.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.